welcome you into another edition of Gateway to Baseball Heaven, the 1st of August. I'm your host, Daniel Shoptoff from C70 at the Bat, and with me is Tara Wellman from Bird Seeds and Bird Tales. And, you know, Tara, we were saying it as we came on, or as we were talking before the show, but basically the theme of this episode is we don't know. We have no idea what this Cardinal team is. It's a team that is still sub-500. It's a team that lost 2 out of 3 from the Brewers. It's a team that made no trade moves at the trade deadline. But it's a team that's 3.5 games behind the division-leading Cubs, and a team that put up 13 runs today, which unfortunately is like 2 weeks worth in one game, and they should have probably saved a few. I don't even know. Let's start with the trade deadline, because that's just, you know, we recorded this last Sunday, the day before, kind of thought that there would be something, but there was absolutely nothing at the trade deadline. What were your thoughts on that? I mean, is how frustrating, how logical, how what was it?
I'll be honest, I had a really hard time even reading anything about the explanations given, because it's just hard to take right now, because, well, for a number of reasons. I think the biggest of which is the comments that were made about it's going to be a busy July, or things that were said that led the fan base to believe that things were going to be changing. And to then see absolutely nothing change, not even the prototypical we'll trade you a minor league outfielder for a reliever move. You know, it was frustrating because it still didn't clarify anything. It didn't really give any answers as to what this organization wants to do moving forward. And it certainly didn't give any answers as to what they think can be done this year, unless your answer is, I don't know. which is apparently the answer to a lot of questions right now. Right. But I think it was just, unfortunately, to some degree, I wasn't shocked, because we've seen this before. But I was maybe a little more disappointed that there was no move, not just because I wanted them to make a move for the sake of making a move, but because I wanted them to take a step in a direction. Just pick one. And I think I've said that 3 weeks in a row. Just pick one. because it almost feels like they're kind of just treading water, hoping that things fall into place around them. Or taking the approach that, well, it's too hard to change right now. When it seems like they could likely make even smaller steps in one direction or the other that would at least show some signs of life, not just of keeping the status quo and hoping something magical happens.
You know, I wound up writing two posts on this, one in the heat of the moment, one the day later, which is probably more likely when I should have written. And I get the logic behind a lot of what they're saying. I get that they didn't want to make a move to make a move. I get that, you know, they were trying to get something and they just couldn't pull the trigger. I get that apparently there were no real offers for Lance Lynn. I'm a little surprised at that, but that's, you know, that's what they feel like, and I'm not going to argue with that. But it's just, like you said, after hearing that they're going to be busy, after, you know, an off season that, yes, they signed Dexter Fowler, but still didn't really feel like it solved the problems. After a trading deadline last year that was kind of bland and boring, and an off season after that, before that, where they lost David Price and Jason Hayward when they went out bidding, the reservoir of goodwill toward the front office is very, very low. you know, and
to put it mildly.
Yeah. And so when they say, you know, now, well, we're going to be very busy this off season. You know, there's going to be a lot of turnover. You know, we might have less than half of the 40-man roster coming back. Blah, 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 blah. I'd like to think that. I also think that there's some really good reasons that they should do those things, or they will do those things. But I don't know that I'm going to be totally shocked if nothing actually happens. But, so I don't know. I mean, I just feel like, if nothing else, some sort of move, like you said, picking a direction, but even something small could have said, hey, we're not going to go all in on this season, but we're going to try to do something. You know, that being said, if they traded for a bullpen arm, they'd have gone with 10 relievers. so maybe we're best off if they didn't. I don't know. But it was frustrating to see. I mean, and it just, you know, that it just doesn't bode well for the front office. Now, again, they might get busy. They, you know, John Mozeliak, it was really bad to, you know, right after the deadline, they're saying, well, we can make deals in August. Oh, no, you can't make deals in August. You could make deals in July. How are you going to make deals in August?
I mean, technically, yes, but realistically,
no, not going to happen. this offseason is huge. Maybe the biggest offseason. I'm sure it's the biggest offseason since 2007, and maybe even before that. But, you know, unfortunately, we've got 2 months to go before we get there. and then another month of playoffs where everybody else is playing, and we aren't. Assuming, of course, that the Cardinals don't make this miraculous run. Of course, everybody tries to bring up 2006, 2011, and if the Cardinals do make the playoffs, this team is nothing like those two teams. But the Cardinals are 3.5 games back right now. Where do you stand on these guys? I know you're going to tell me I don't know.
but, bonus points for anyone who tallies up the number of times we say I don't know in this episode. It's not going to be me, but if you're feeling really bored, go for it.
That's right. Rewind a little bit and catch up, and then go forward.
Because there have been at least 3 or 4 already.
Right, right.
But no, I think the closeness in the division is part of the problem for the Cardinals this season, because when you look at it from the perspective of trying to gauge the potential of this team based on, I mean, it's August. They are who they are at this point. They're a sub-500 team. I mean, that's who they are. Now, could they get hot and, like Matt Carpenter said, run off 10 in a row and suddenly be leading the division by 5.5 games or whatever it ends up being? Sure, they could, but I'm not expecting that from this team because we haven't seen their ability to do that all season. So they are a sub-500 team. And yes, they're 3.5 games back, but they're still not really good, and I think we are starting to see a lot of the players themselves making that very clear that they don't think they're a good team either, which is another conversation, but an interesting note on the way that this season has gone. So on the one hand, what do you make of them? They're at best, they've been a couple games above 500, and at this point, they can't seem to even claw back to that mark. So they're not a contender, if you will. But on the other hand, they still have a dozen or so games left with the two teams that have been at the top of the division this year. So you're talking about a single week that could be the swing in the standings, and it's hard to not think about that and to maybe overvalue those standings when you're trying to decide what this team is, because any way you slice it, they're not good. They just happen to be in a not good division that is keeping their playoff hopes alive, at least at this point. But I'm not sure that's helping them pick a direction to go as an organization.
Yeah, I think that you're absolutely right. If the Cardinals were 3 games under, or, well, I guess now they're, what, 1 game under, but still under 500 in just about any other division in baseball, you know, they're 10 games out, and we know that they could have sold at the trading deadline, that, you know, you could start playing Harrison Bader every day, you can start playing, you know, Randall Grichuk every day, trying to figure out what you have with him, you can start planning for next year, but, you know, you, in theory, could take Carson Kelly and actually play him every once in a while.
He's not tired, okay?
Well,
Yachty's not tired.
I can guarantee you Carson Kelly's not. I'm tired of picking
tired spoilers. Of yeah, tired of sitting on the bench, maybe.
That's right. It was nice to see that, you know, the Cardinals, you know, after getting a 10-run lead a couple innings later, finally took Yadier out today. But anyway, so yeah, you could have that clarity in just about any other division, but this is that division that's going to cause problems for the Cardinals, and probably to the most part, you know, this team, and honestly, fairly, is going to want to run out Yadier Molina every day. He's going to want to run out, you know, Dexter Fowler, Chris Carpenter, Matt Carpenter. I'd love to run out Chris Carpenter right now. but, you know, they're going to run out their guys to try to win the ball game as much as they can, and they should, because they are only 3.5 out. I mean, you just never know for sure, but it's probably going to be the worst of both worlds for the Cardinals, because they're going to wind up short of the Cubs. Most likely, they're going to wind up short of the Cubs. But they're not going to have that evaluation time that they really probably need to try to figure out what they want to do for 2018. So, you know, just when you thought the Cardinals couldn't be more frustrating, they decided
surprise!
They found a whole new way to do it. So I don't know. I mean, you look at this. I mean, the Cubs have a nice, easy schedule coming up. It's hard to really commit to 3.5, but unfortunately, I mean, you'd have to be slightly crazy to write it off, wouldn't you?
Yeah, and I think that's where a lot of the players are. I think that's likely where Mike Matheny is when he's not complaining about the fans. And it is hard when you're trying to, like I said, figure out who this team is, to ignore the fact that the division you happen to play in is playing very down this year. And, you know, we said this before the trade deadline. I know I've said it multiple times. It's almost crazy to not try to take advantage of that, to see that you're in a weak division and in a year where you have no business making the playoffs compared to the other divisions in baseball, you still have a legitimate shot. So do you take that chance? Do you try to push it? Do you try to maybe move some pieces around and get the best you can without maybe sacrificing what you have planned for the next couple of years? It's hard not to try to push to that mark when, you know, whether it's 2006 or 2011 or not, crazy things can happen in the playoffs. And, you know, we've both said it. If this team were to somehow magically make it into the postseason, they're not really built to compete against the likes of the Dodgers or the Astros or the Yankees or whomever you want to throw in that conversation. But, you know, they weren't supposed to compete in 2006 or in 2011 either. And the way things broke in a number of occasions, or the way they got hot at just the right time, crazy things happened. Now, we also talked about this week, in that this is a very different team than 2006 or 2011, but you also can't ever bank on something that crazy happening. You know, you can't say, well, if we win 83 games and we get in, we're a shoo-in because it happened before. It was so remarkable in both of those years because it wasn't supposed to happen. There was no logical reason why things should have gone that way. So yes, can it happen? Absolutely. Can you win 100 games and get swept out of the postseason? Absolutely. But it's silly at some point to try to draw too much on what happened in any one of those other years, because they're not this year. And whether you just barely made the playoffs or not, this year you're a sub 500 team. And that's the reality you have to live in until you can change it.
Yeah, I really thought about today, and I didn't because they won, and I'll probably put it off for a little bit longer, but really wanted to write a post about what the 2006 and the 2011 teams had and what they look like versus what this team has. Because, yeah, we think of 2006 as an 83-win team, but, you know, this time of the year, they were up 9-10 games over 500. Mm-hmm. And they were leading the division by, you know, a handful of games. You look at 2011, and even at their low point, they were, what, 5-6 games over before they started their run. This team isn't that. And I will say, 2006, I kind of expected, after looking at pitching matchups and stuff, I actually thought they'd make it into the playoff at the World Series. But, and I don't think anybody could say that about 2011 necessarily, but you could make arguments. When you look at a team like the Dodgers that are right now 24 games better than the Cardinals are.
Insane.
Yeah.
Absolutely insane.
And they just added Yu Darvish.
Yeah.
To pair with Clayton Kershaw. Yeah. How do you do that? How do you plan that? I mean, because you're going to send up, I mean, at best, you run Carlos Martinez against Clayton Kershaw. Well, you're probably going to lose with your ace. And then what do you got, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I don't see how you can make this big, you know, grand pronouncement that you're going to make any sort of run. But there is cachet in just winning the division. I mean, heck, if
yeah.
you told Cardinal fans at the beginning of the year that they would finish ahead of the Cubs, it did not matter if the Cardinals finished fourth and the Cubs finished fifth, they would have taken it.
And quite honestly, in this division, if the Cardinals were to win, it would also keep the Cubs out of the playoffs. So there is that moral victory.
That's right. We do not have to worry about October that way. So, you know, I mean, maybe right now I'm rooting a little bit harder for the Brewers to, you know, but because
yeah.
I think it's more likely, but sure. So I don't know. You're right. There is reasons to hope, but it's head versus heart, I guess it says, put it that way, which is, you know, it's baseball. That's the way things go. So you can hope for improvements, you can hope for good things, but, you know, to expect this team to make any sort of run is unlikely. Now, we saw the return of Adam Wainwright today. The Cardinals...
Sort of.
Well, yeah, sort of. we saw the return of Adam Wainwright to Cincinnati. And given how he pitched the last time he went in Cincinnati, today was a marked improvement compared to, you know, anything else that he does. That's a different story. But, you know, I got to admit, Cardinals got down 3-0 in that first inning. I don't know that anybody really expected them to turn around and come back. I mean, granted, it was Homer Bailey they were going against, and he has struggled this year. And, you know, they turned it around real quickly, scored 4 in the next inning. But... This was an atypical game out of the Cardinals today, and it was a great game, but I don't know that it's a harbinger for anything that's coming forward.
Yeah, you know, it's like a lot of the little moments of success this season, whether that's a 5 or 6 game stretch or a 3 or 4 inning stretch. you know, it's nice to see. It's hard to really buy into it as the inning or the game or the turning point that's going to make a difference in the season. Because we've said that almost every week since the season started, this is the game. This is going to be what turns it around. This is going to be when everything clicks. And that just hasn't been the case in any one of those instances. So it was good to see. And hopefully what it does, if nothing else, is build a little bit of confidence in some of those guys that have been struggling at the plate, because there are way too many of them right now that are struggling at the plate. And you know, it was an interesting lineup today, which is another thing that I feel like we could probably say almost every day, but it stacked some guys together that were in a little bit of a different order than we normally see them. And it ended up working out pretty well as far as guys getting consecutive hits and the guys that got on base being driven in by the guys behind them, which is, I know, shocking, but how baseball is supposed to work. So it was nice to see some of those guys able to come through in those opportunities. But I think it's a stretch to call this any sort of game changer or season changer based on what we've seen from them and the fact that, you know, it was the Reds who have struggled as of late, especially when you're talking about some of the pitching. So that's they should have won. They didn't necessarily need to put that many runs on the board to do it. It was fun to see, but I'm not going to expect double digit runs from them every night.
Yeah, they scored as many today as they have in the last 4 games. and that's that sanctifying. I think, I mean, you look at the, you know, you look at that Colorado series that they had just a couple weeks ago where they sweep it, they score 10 runs in the last game of it, that game, and we thought, okay, hey, maybe. Well, then the next day they go out and get shut out, and then, you know, lose two of four to the Diamondbacks. So, you know, I guess this sit here with Kansas City, both home and away, could tell us something. I know Kansas City's playing better. Kansas City's got a better record, although I think their run differential is negative, so they may be playing a little bit above what they can do. I think that tells us something. I guess if the Cardinals win 3 of 4 against the Royals, then I don't know. Maybe we can talk, but that would require them to get, you know, 2.500 and then above, and I don't know that they can do that or not.
It's not allowed. It's not allowed. It's against the rules.
Yeah, it seems to be. we'll find out when they go tomorrow. Should be interesting to see if they can actually get across that. I don't know. The bullpen right now, though, seems to be pretty well. I know we have a lot of relievers, and then they wound up putting Kevin Segrist on the disabled list today. I really thought they would be putting Matt Bowman on the DL because he hadn't pitched in 5 days.
He is alive, can confirm.
Yeah, saw he got into today's game, and apparently just took him a little longer to reattach his arm this time. but the bullpens look good, and the starting pitching has been fairly good. So, you know, I guess all you do is get that offense going, and hey, maybe there's something that happens.
You know, I feel like we've been saying that for 3 or 4 years now. That if we could just get everything going at the same time, they'd be pretty good. That is the trick, though, isn't it? I mean, you know, there's always some inconsistency, and it is, as they say, a game of failure. And unfortunately, it doesn't work very well when everything fails at once. but you also don't get that consistency that you see with a team like the Dodgers or the Astros in the American League when you can't get all of those pieces firing on all cylinders at the same time. And I don't know that there's a magic spell for that. I don't know that there's an amount of work you can put in that suddenly flips the switch and you're consistent. I don't know exactly what the best method is for trying to get everyone playing at their best at the same time, but whatever it is, the Cardinals need to try to figure it out, because this is going on several years now saying the same thing. And it's great to know that potential is there, but if you never get to the point where you're actually tapping into that potential, utilizing that ability, then it's just a lot of talk, and people, I think, at this point are kind of tired of the talking.
Yeah, very much so. Now, I guess the one bright spot, really bright spot, over the last little bit as we start to wrap up the show, maybe appropriately for our last topic, is Trevor Rosenthal. Rosenthal has looked like that closer that we always thought we had, then didn't think we had, and now think we have again. He's been pretty much locked down, and I think that has helped. If nothing else, it's helped morale, because if you know, they haven't lost a whole lot of late inning games lately.
Yeah, and you know, we've talked about that too, and I don't know that it's really shocking that once you have someone who can finish off a game, that the rest of the bullpen starts to take shape too. I mean, we've said that before. The same thing happened last year when Rosie couldn't lock down the ninth inning, and then all of a sudden you put O back in there, and oh well, it starts to right the ship a little bit. But I think what Trevor Rosenthal has brought to the game this year, and I know we've been talking a lot about it as of late, but even at the very beginning of the season when he could only pitch every 5 or 6 days, when he was out there, he was just phenomenal. I mean, I think we're seeing the best that Trevor Rosenthal has ever looked. And it's interesting, the whole Trevor Rosenthal situation has been a bit strange this season because of all the talk about how he still wants to be a starter and stretching him out in spring training, and then the talk of him pitching multiple innings or in high leverage situations, and then not pitching at all and then trying to fill in until he really had a spot and ending up right back where he started. You know, it's one thing to say that you want to have a different role, but I don't think that even Trevor Rosenthal at this point can deny the value he brings to this team at the back end of that bullpen. I mean, when he had to come in and pitch two innings to get the save earlier this week, there are not other guys in that bullpen who could do that, even if they're throwing their best stuff for the most part. So what he does and the ability that he has is just so incredibly valuable at the back end of that bullpen for this team. And I really think that his establishing his role in that bullpen is what has started to change the dynamic of the rest of that pen, and guys have been able to slide in where they should be, not necessarily where they have to be because there's no one else to pitch that inning.
Yeah, I mean, it's so awesome just to see that and to have that less than, you know, people have their nails nowadays. I mean, that's just not, it's always good to not be eating your nails on a regular basis. That seems to be.
I prefer it.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea, so. I mean, there's always things to complain about in a Cardinal Nation, but it's nice to have one thing that feels like it's off the table. Now, as soon as we say that, you know, Rosie will hit a bump this week just because we talked about it. And everybody will listen back at the show and think how crazy we are. But, you know, that happens. That's why we put this stuff on. We, you know, put it down and then we forget about it. So it's okay.
Right.
Yeah. Nobody ever, we never listen to this again. So it's all right. A big week, like I say, the Royals coming up. If they can win three or four, maybe even split with the Royals, but definitely win three or four there. Then you get the Braves coming in this weekend, and you think they'd have to win two out of three there. And then all of a sudden, you've put together a little bit of a, if not a winning streak, at least a winning pattern.
Yeah.
And it would be nice to see. Now, I don't know, because just add that to your tally. If Tara and I will be doing a show next week, because Tara and I both are going to be in St. Louis on Friday night. We will be going to the Braves game, courtesy of the folks at the Marriott St. Louis Grand. They're hosting us for the night. Going to send us to the ball game, and so you'll be seeing some tweets and things from us on that, because we may not have to pay money to go, but we do have to pay in social media currency. but it should be a fun time. And so Tara and I will do that Friday, and I'm sure we'll probably record something of some measure or nature while we're together. But I don't know if we'll get around to Sunday night or not. It probably depends on how sick Tara is of me after
I don't have to sit with you at the game,
this
so we'll be
true.
Fine.
This is true. I mean, you know, she gets the front row seats, and, you know, I'm back in the back, so, you know, she didn't have to deal with me there, so we'll see how this all goes.
We didn't pick our seats. It just happened that way.
Yes, it did. And, and so I'm going to go posting pictures of Tara on Instagram and calling her out, you know, that kind of thing, because that's what you do these days. That's, you know, we're just...
All the screenshots.
Yeah.
Screenshot everything.
We're just trying to be as hip. You know, I'm just trying to... We both had birthdays this week, so we're trying to get our age back. You know, Tara's a little better at it than I am, but, you know, we gotta capture that youth by throwing shade on Instagram. That's just the way it goes. So, all right. So, either next week or the week after, we will be back with you and hopefully talking about this winning pattern that we're hopefully is coming up. So, for Tara, I'm Daniel. Good night.
Hey, Cardinals fans. Thanks for listening to this week's show. If you liked what you heard, you can find us on iTunes. Just search Gateway to Baseball Heaven under podcasts and click subscribe. While you're there, feel free to give us 5 of those little gold stars or even a quick review. And tune in next time as we break down another week in baseball heaven.